Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for using it. If you're on Twitter, you can follow me at Jim Blasingame. Jonathan Zook is our guest. Jonathan is our good friend and a 10-year-plus member of our Brain Trust. And he's in his 11th year as a member of our Brain Trust. He's also, his day job is as president of the Association for Competitive Technology. Jonathan, welcome back. And one of the things that I want you to talk to us about today is something that's going to be voted on, I think, today in the Senate, I guess. And that is something called net neutrality. Now, I have to say, Jonathan, I've covered a lot of public policy issues on this show before over the last 12 years. Net neutrality is, without a doubt, the most complicated, the most confusing issue that I've ever covered. What do you think?
You've covered a lot of issues, so I can't confirm or deny that.
Am I right? It is. It's a very confusing issue, isn't it?
It is, and I think it's in a lot of people's interest for it to be confusing, right? And so that's part of what makes it hard to get your arms around.
Well, explain it to us.
Tell
us what it means.
It dates back to when AT&T was this sort of government-created monopoly, and they actually had a rule that they imposed on their customers that you couldn't plug anything into the wall except a phone that you bought from AT&T.
Right.
And so the Supreme Court, in a decision that was called Carter Phone, said, hey, you should be able to plug whatever you want into that outlet.
Right.
That opened up the market for phones, and then if you think about it later on, for modems, that allowed people to get out to the internet.
Right.
If you remember that,
I had a Hayes 400 baud.
Exactly, and so you know a lot of people credit that with the explosion of PCs on the internet, et cetera. So the idea behind
you're saying that was basically the forerunner of net neutrality.
Well, that's exactly right. So now the question is, AT&T were the ones that provided the infrastructure and wanted to control the edge, and so network neutrality is an attempt by regulators to impose a similar kind of restriction on infrastructure providers for the internet, which is people like the phone companies, the cable companies.
But the issue, the original issue, was about devices at the edge, at the fringes, you say.
That's right.
This is much more complicated because it's not about what's at the edge at all. It's about the content that's going over and the access to bandwidth for that content and who owns what, isn't it?
Well, right. But if you think about it, that's at the edge, right? So I mean, I'm at the edge with a PC. In a browser, and somebody else is at the edge with a server serving up website content, video,
music, whatever,
et cetera, right? So that's the question. And is it possible for the infrastructure provider to discriminate in some way based on the content?
Mm-hmm.
So the scenarios that get painted are the cable company, which still makes most of its money from TV shows,
right,
and pay-per-view, could they slow down your ability to stream movies from Netflix?
For example, let me give an example. You tell me how close I am. Folks, as you know, I deliver content over the internet from our website in the form of streaming this show live in our simulcast, also archives. So if one of the cable companies had a competing show, if they wanted to, they could slow down my stream to your computer over their network. If they chose, they could slow that down. They have that ability, but their program would come in very fast. Is that a fair assessment?
Right. I mean, and the truth is, they have the ability to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, will they? And is there really an issue there? Will customers standby by, you know, Netflix being right. slowed down or whatever.
Let me give another more likely example. They own a set of titles of movies, and another company owns a set of titles of movies. Their movies would come in slower to you than the ones that they own would come into to you.
That's right. And so those are some of the nightmare scenarios that get painted. Right?
So, but what the confusing part is, that's pretty understandable. The confusing part is which part is net neutrality and which part is against net neutrality?
Well, net neutrality would be restrictions placed on the infrastructure providers, the cable companies, the phone companies,
right.
to prevent that discrimination.
So it is
that's
what it sounds like.
Power neutrality.
It is what it sounds like, right?
Yes.
I mean, net neutrality means no one who has a network can discriminate against anybody else's content.
That's right.
Okay, go ahead.
And so the problem is that we are now standing at the precipice of much faster internet service. I mean, because if you go to Japan, I mean, their internet service is, you know, 100 times faster than ours,
mm-hmm.
which in the context of things like movie downloads and stuff would be quite useful.
Right.
Because right now, if you want to download a movie, you're kind of saying go, and you come back 2 hours later.
Right. Go make a sandwich.
Exactly. And so so we stand at that precipice. We actually need a lot of investment to be made by these infrastructure providers.
Mm-hmm.
We need them to lay new wires in the streets, bring new wires to your house, fiber optic
build
cable,
wireless,
et cetera.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all standing in anticipation of that, and there's some question as to whether or not you're creating the right incentives for that investment.
So you're
right
saying
the
that...
Bat are saying, and we're going to restrict your business model.
Net neutrality, the enforcement of net neutrality... Could be impeding investment. If I've got billions of dollars that I want to capitalize more network, you know, my part of my ROI is my content, and so I want to protect that. So we come back. We're going to get Jonathan to talk to us a little bit more about this, folks. We all have a stake in net neutrality, whether you know it or not. Tintel, stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Got a lot of stuff to cover. I don't want to miss a second of our visit with Jonathan Zuck as he explains net neutrality to us. Jonathan is president of Association for Competitive Technologies. Jonathan, that's actonline.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us a little bit about ACT.
Well, ACT is a trade association representing about 4,000 small and medium-sized businesses.
And a couple of big ones.
In the IT space. And
yeah.
So we have a couple of big supporters, but they're not members. But,
oh, okay.
Including
me,
in D.C. and Brussels and,
right.
and around the world.
I'm a member. People like me, folks, people who, and you could be too. Anybody who's interested in making sure that technology has a voice, small business technology has a voice at the table where things like net neutrality are being debated, should consider. Checking in with ACT Online at actonline.org and joining and finding out about what they've got and let them send you the information that they have about what they're doing. Jonathan, quickly, I want to come back to the debate about net neutrality, or the discussion, I should say, but before we do, what's happening today on Capitol Hill?
Well, I mean, there have been some principles in place for a while now in network neutrality that have to do with preventing these infrastructure providers from blocking people's content or
right.
Slowing down people's content, etc. And now they're looking at a kind of a fourth provision that would prevent the cable companies from even giving an advantage to a new partner. It
uh-huh.
would be like if I owned a private expressway and decided to create a new fast lane
mm-hmm.
in addition to the expressway that was already there. And then you know, only give certain trucking companies access to this new fast lane or something.
So if what you're saying is, if I built a private road, a toll road, it belonged to me, and I bought all the right of way and built everything,
mm-hmm.
and I gave the public free access to that at the state's speed limit, but then I built this second lane, and if you wanted to pay me more, I would give you access to that lane. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly right.
So
the new provision would prevent something like that. And the problem is...
So there would be a stated public access that where nothing would be impeded, But if we had technology that would accelerate that in another lane, we could sell that.
That's exactly right. And the investment in those accelerated lanes is part of what would allow the ongoing maintenance and improvement of the lane that was available to everyone.
And so if you had DSL from the telephone company, maybe they would have access, they would have partners that you liked. If the cable companies had, you know, you had their backbone you could use, their network you could use, maybe they had another set of ball games or movies or whatever, and so everybody would have access to the common lanes. But if you liked ball games, maybe you'd go with one company more. If you like movies, maybe the telephone company had the better movie selection. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
It is. I mean, the practical implication of this really, though, is that the infrastructure providers want some of the larger content providers to chip in for some of this huge investment that's being made in the infrastructure.
Right.
And they've been largely getting a free ride, right?
Right.
So a huge bandwidth customer, like a Netflix or a YouTube or something like that, they want to get a check from Google. This doesn't really have anything to do with you as a user.
Right.
It's more about Google writing a big check so that they get the fastest possible access. And the truth of the matter is, they have the money and they'll write the check. So as a user, you're not likely to see any difference.
Right.
What's likely to happen is that maybe your service from the internet provider will be a little bit cheaper than it would otherwise be.
Because it's been subsidized by Google.
And potentially your content will be a little more expensive than it would otherwise be, but it'll all be a wash to you.
Right. Okay, so that makes a lot of sense. But now this has taken a few years to evolve into this kind of common sense, though, hasn't it?
Well, but that's the problem, is I don't know that it has, right? The provision that's being voted on today would restrict those kinds
of
deals that could be made, which in turn could hamper the investment that we're all looking for these infrastructure providers to make.
Mm-hmm.
That's the danger. So, I would say vote no on net neutrality.
So, I see. So, you're saying that the people today, the vote today, could be voting for net neutrality, but it would be against future investment.
Potentially, exactly. I mean, they're trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist, right? Since when did
so
they do that?
So, basically, the government should stay out of it, is what you think.
Until there's a problem, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
this is kind of like going after Microsoft for antitrust violations where no customer ever complained.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
It's all clear now. You did a great job. Thanks a lot. And you're going to Seoul, Korea soon. And when you come back, I want you to tell us about that trip.
I sure will.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.